I'm not free, while any woman is unfree, even when her shackles are very different from my own. And with these powerful words from the American writer and activist Audre Lorde, we dive into today's podcast topic, which is as vast as it is personal, the shared experiences of womanhood. And whether you're tuning in from a bustling city or a quiet village, no matter where you are in the world, you'll likely find echoes of your own story or the stories of the women close to you in what we're about to discuss. When we talk about shared experiences in womanhood, we are exploring the threads that connect women across different cultures and backgrounds. It's about recognizing that despite our diverse life paths, there are certain challenges and aspirations that many women face, regardless of where they come from. So let's start with some universal experiences that shape the lives of women worldwide. First, there's the ongoing struggle for control over one's own sexuality and body. From reproductive rights to bodily autonomy, this battle is fought on many fronts. We're talking about everyday issues like access to contraception and family planning, the right to safe and legal abortion, the ability to decide if and when to have children, but also critical issues like freedom from forced and child marriage, protection against female genital mutilation, or the right to refuse unwanted sexual advances. The list goes on and on, covering topics like sexual autonomy, medical self-determination, body image and self-presentation, workplace rights, and digital rights. I'm sure if you think about it, you can come up with at least two examples for each of these points from your own life or the lives of women you know. Another significant issue is the pressure to measure a woman's worth by her ability to care for others. This expectation often leads to the infamous second shift, where women work full-time jobs and then come home to handle the majority of household and childcare duties. Unpaid care work is still predominantly assigned to women. To put this into perspective, women and girls worldwide work at least 12 billion hours unpaid every day. Another point is, of course, the ever-present concern for one's sexual and physical safety. And this isn't just about walking alone at night. It's about navigating a world where women's bodies are often seen as public property. And let's not forget the misconceptions about the relationship between appearance and self-worth. The global beauty industry thrives on these insecurities and promotes unrealistic standards that affect women's self-esteem worldwide. So when we look at cross-cultural challenges, we see a common thread: the pursuit of self-determination and authenticity. Whether it's fighting against child marriage in rural India or advocating for equal pay in American companies, women everywhere are striving to define their own paths. But it's not all about challenges. Women from different cultures also share common aspirations. There's a widespread desire for education and financial independence. We see efforts to create equal partnerships and foster mutual respect between genders. And there's a collective push to create a safer, more equitable world for future generations of women. So, now that you've gotten a brief overview of the topic from me, you're about to hear a more personal perspective on it.
I would like to start by sharing a personal experience that highlights a critical issue in our society. I live in a less popular district of Dusseldorf, and whenever I mention where I live, I often receive looks and comments suggesting it's a rough part of town. These remarks aren't about the area being aesthetically unappealing or having high crime rates, but focus instead on the fact that the majority of residents are Muslims. Unfortunately, racism and Islamophobia are not uncommon in Germany, despite the fact that 6.6% of the German population, which are 5.5 million people out of 83.28 million, are Muslim. The prejudice is particularly troubling when we consider the intersectionality of sexism and Islamophobia that Muslim women face. To help offer a personal perspective on this topic, I have with me a dear friend of mine, Zahra Al-Nahar, who is a 21-year-old Muslim woman studying dentistry in Plymouth, England. Hey Zahra, thank you for being with me today. I have a few questions for you. Just to gain some insight of what life is like as a Muslim woman.
Of course. Let's do it.
How do you feel like you're treated compared to the men around you inside and outside of your religion? Do you feel like do you see a difference there or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I have three older brothers
and when they were my age, you know, in their life, they were able to do a lot more things than I could do. I think a lot of it is down to being a woman culturally, and like in Islam, and being Arab, like being Iraqi and things like that. Like, I wasn't allowed to be out later than a certain time, but when my brothers were my age, they were, you know, I have to make sure that there's someone with me, like, to go home all the time, whereas they can go home alone. Yeah. And in terms of things like marriage as well, like, you know, it's always like the later a woman is married, that's like really bad. Like, mm-hmm. apparently, you know, like, women should be married by like 25, but like men can get married at 40. Oh, you know, like that sort of thing. You know, obviously that's changing nowadays, mm-hmm. and like, you know, my parents are just happy for any of us to be married at any age. But yeah.
So would you say you have experienced discrimination because you are a Muslim woman outside of your religion?
I think outwardly I haven't, because I'm quite white passing. I don't wear a hijab. Mm-hmm. You know, a random person on the street wouldn't know that I am Muslim. My mum has, though, because she wears hijab, like, mm-hmm. it's crazy as well. Like, even, like, well, I remember one time, like, we were just driving, like, my mum was stopped at a red light, and there were, like, I don't know, if they, like, some football hooligans who were, like, clearly had a few drinks, mm. you know, and they were, like, shouting, at, like, they were crossing the road while we were parked up at a red light, yeah. and like shouting at my mum, like making a sign to her hijab, and like just, I can't even remember what they were saying, but you know, just the fact that they were rowdy at the fact that she was just wearing hijab, I think was crazy.
Mm-hmm. So my last question, because you are a dentistry student.
I am.
Studying in Plymouth, getting your degree.
Yes.
Do you think that you are in a privileged situation according to your culture to be able to do that?
100%. 100%. I think even the fact that I live like in the UK, that I have a home, that I'm able to live in London, I think these are all like major, major like aspects of privilege. And, you know, I am so grateful.
So that concludes our interview. Thank you so much for joining me today. Although I know we've talked about your culture before, this was very insightful to me and hopefully our listeners as well.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
As you just heard in the interview, education is in fact something that is not taken for granted by many women from all kinds of different backgrounds. Education is often seen as a privilege, especially for girls and women, considering that approximately 130 million girls all around the world are not able or allowed to go to school. To offer their children a higher education and better chances for their future, some parents even decide to move to other countries or even continents. This can significantly increase a woman's chances in her future, because without equality in education, not many women are able to actually improve on their most important skills for life, such as self-management, communication, and critical thinking. Equalizing education rights for girls and women would also help to strengthen the society they live in, since educating as many people as possible can help a country economically and socially, which supports the stability of a country for everyone to profit from. Right now, the right of education for women without gender-based discrimination is only guaranteed in 58% of countries, the highest percentage of this being in the Arab region and Latin America, and the lowest being in Asia and the Pacific region, where, in most countries, the right of education is not legally guaranteed for anyone. An example for the struggles of a life without education rights is the story of Malala Yousafzai, a now 27-year-old woman who was already supporting women rights at the age of 11. She was born in Pakistan, and growing up, her father, who was a teacher at a girls' school, always tried to offer her the same opportunities as the boys in their city. When Malala was 10, the Taliban took over the control in the region and banned, among other things, the right for girls to attend schools. In early 2009, when Malala was 11, she started blogging anonymously for the BBC and told the world about her life in this new situation, her fears and her nightmares. Later, the family unwillingly had to leave their hometown, which did not stop Malala and her father from supporting girls' education in the media. The media's attention must have also been the reason that Malala was intentionally shot in the head by the Taliban at the time she was 15. She barely survived, but decided to keep fighting. In 2014, she became the youngest person that was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her work in defending girls' education. Because most women are missing out on educational chances, it is important to fight for more women's rights to create a more educated society. All around the world, women struggle with their rights being limited, but fighting for equality and human rights is what unites and connects every single one of us. We cannot suddenly change the world, but learning from the experiences we share and the challenges we all face is the first step on a long journey to equality in the world. I am not free where any woman is unfree, even when her shackles are very different from my own. Audre Lorde.